friends of Anne.
I wish I would have known her more. In reading her biography, I noticed a few times when our paths sort of cross. She was born in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, or as we say, Woonsocket, where people stand side by each. I was pastor there for 2 years in Woonsocket, and I remember in the 20s and 30s, that parish went through a lot of travails and trials. And of course, she died in the Bronx. I went to Fordham University in the Bronx, and I'm from Yonkers. So once again, something that's close by, she's a veteran of the Navy. I'm a retired Air Force chaplain. So here we have some commonalities. And although I could speak more about her life if I knew her better, often at a Christian funeral liturgy, the Mass, we speak about how we as Christians look at one another, look at God, and look at life. So if you allow me just to share a few thoughts. Shakespeare gives two little examples of visions about life, and maybe you might recognize the way some people look at life. This first vision you often see at bars and pubs. When Shakespeare says in Macbeth, "Life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing." Nothing. People make this faith assertion because none of us has died, so we really don't know what we're talking about. Whether we are fearless in the face of death, afraid of death, or could care less about it, one thing we know, some things in life you have to experience before you know what you're talking about. So I know I don't know what I'm talking about. But life, I am experiencing. And another idea that Shakespeare put is this, which makes at least a little bit more sense. "For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil must give us pause." In other words, he said, "I'm not afraid of dying, but I don't know what this thing death is. And that's why I pause and I think." Because as much as we who believe say life continues, and people perhaps who don't say it doesn't matter, both of us should at least stop and think, because it's that important. And we should not speak with too much certainty about things we haven't experienced. That's why the early Christians said, you know what? Nature, God's creation, gives us intimations of immortality. When you look at nature, everything comes from a seed. And if you put a table in front of a young child and you put an acorn, seeds from different plants and flowers, and you gave that a child a picture of what each of these seeds would become, I would guarantee you that they could not match them up. Can an acorn become a 60, 70, 100 foot tall oak tree? The child would say, "Oh, come on, that's impossible." And if you told that 2, 3-year-old child, not only that, but you have to put it in the ground. It really has to fall apart with mud and water and sprout roots. The child would say, "Is that possible?" That's why the early Christians called their cemeteries the place of the seed, the garden or the field of the Lord, where the seed is planted to blossom in eternal life. And this transition is miraculous. So when I think of death, at least it should give me pause and make me think. Because the early Christians said one thing they know about life, and this may seem funny to some people, life is very, very fair. And you could say, "What are you talking about? Tragedy, death, accidents, betrayals. horrors. Why do you say life is fair? Because the early Christian says it's not what becomes of you, but who you become that's important. The goal of a Christian life is not to have good things happen to you, but for you to become good. Imagine if everything right goes for you. Imagine if all the blessings possible and the luck that could happen happens to you. And you become a bad person. Then the words of Jesus come echoing back. What can a person give in exchange for their soul? Even if you gain the whole world and you turn out to be a bad person, what have you accomplished? The toys and trinkets that we gather, the adulation and the good reputations that we amass, our friends and enemies and some who are afraid of us telling us they're great. St. Thomas Aquinas in the 12th century used to say, if 1,000 angels say you're good, it doesn't make you 1 inch better. And if 1,000 devils and demons and enemies say you're horrible, it doesn't make you 1 bit worse. Because it's reality, it's who you are that actually always counts. So at the end of your life, the Christians say life is fair because you end up to be the person you have chosen. In spite of the accidents, the cancers, the lotto that you may have won, the great friends you may have, the betrayals you may have suffered, you are in charge of your life and you choose how you respond. And the words of Jesus in this come echoing back, as you sow your seed of your life, so shall you reap. And when your friends and toys and trinkets have disappeared, and you come face to face with the Master, he will say, whatever you have chosen, you will receive. That is why we paint icons of people who have died, because relationships never end for the Christians. When we give the gospel book to kiss, we say Christ is among us, and the response is always in the present tense. He is and he will be. We do not celebrate the supper of the Lord as a historical remembrance. We celebrate it and say the same love that loved me at Calvary, that loved me when he was being betrayed by his fellow human beings, is the same love that is loving us now. Because the cross reminds us of the power of human choice. You can be betrayed, hung on a cross, spit at and condemned, and you have the power to say, I love you. Frustrating for those people who are full of hatred and don't understand. Confusing for those people who say that is not a normal human reaction. Because in the kingdom of the blind, the person who can see is weird and unusual. We have gotten used to dysfunction so much that when we see a person becoming human, we say, that's weird. Why didn't he just spit back, curse those people, and die? Because Jesus gave us a vision of what life is about. And so people looking at Anne may see her in different ways, but the Lord sees her as she has chosen to be. And in his mercy, our Father, knowing that we are dust and ashes, prone to sin, we are all sinners. That's one thing atheists and believers agree upon. I'm only human. Everybody sins. That's right. That's why the church is not a museum for saints, but a hospital for sinners. If you're perfect, this is no place for you. Go to the mall. But if you're a sinner like me, who's trying to be better, who's struggling, and who says, I want to be better, not because I'm embarrassed. I want to be better because I love you. Repentance is not about feeling sorry because you've messed up. But sorry because you've let people down. Sorry because I could have been better for you. And believing not so much that I can, but believing that God can help me become a better person. So these thoughts about life and living, which we all do, at this time, give us pause and say, we thank you, Lord, for the gift that Anne was to us. And there's an old custom in the Ukrainian Catholic Church to say, on behalf of Anne, I say, if she has done anything to hurt you, please forgive her. And understand that she was only human. And all the good things that she has done for you, Thank God for her. And if you believe in those things, make your life a living memorial and do that to others. Repeat the good and say, you can change yourself with God's help. As Christians, we never believe we do this by ourselves. Churches aren't built for God. God doesn't need us to tell him he's great. The creator of the universe with the Hubble telescope can't even see, doesn't need our incense, our songs, and our candles. But what he does want is for us to love one another, to care for one another, to remind ourselves that this is the norm that we should aspire to be forgiving and kind and generous. Because in those actions, we build our character and our life, the filter through which we see everything and experience everything. Thank you, Anne, for being with us. We look to your life. We pray for the things that you may have done wrong. We thank God for all the things you did right. And may your memory serve as an inspiration for us to be good as we travel this journey to the field of the Lord. God bless you.